Veteran Trib baseball writer Paul Sullivan joining us now. Paul, do you remember where you were on this day in 1988? Remember what you were doing? Think.
Today,
August 9th.
At the Cubs game?
August 9th, 1988. That's right.
I do remember doing the first one. The rainout night game, but I'm not sure if I did the second one, the actual one, the official one.
That's right. They actually played it on this date in 1988. Yeah. And in your column today, you write, reasons may be hard to find, but young Cubs players can be worth watching. And one of the young Cubs you like is this pitcher, Justin Steele. And is he pitching? Is it tonight he's pitching?
No, that's tomorrow. Yeah, we know Justin. He was up earlier this year as a reliever, did a great job. They sent him down to the AAA to stretch out a bit and become a starter, knowing that, probably knowing they were going to get rid of a lot of guys. And now he's ready, and he's going to be in the rotation starting tomorrow. They're going to use a six-man rotation for a while.
Dave, we're not the only ones doing the review of all ex-Cub players and what they do, because Paul's got in his column today not only updates on Rizzo and Baez and Bryant, but Kyle Schwarber and John Lester, too. So is this going to be a regular feature in the column, Paul?
No, it just seemed like an unusually bad day for ex-Cubs, with Rizzo getting being put on the COVID list, testing positive, and Lester getting kicked around, and Baez getting hurt. It was just very, very strange occurrence, kind of like the curse of Jed, maybe.
Cubby occurrence as well. It was a bad night for the Cubs here, too.
Paul, were you kind of struck by the juxtaposition of these two teams? I mean, I know there have been other years where one team's been down and one team's been up when they played in interleague play, but it just seemed like this time around, I guess the timing of it, too, coming a week after the trade deadline and a couple of deals between the teams, that it seemed even more dramatic and the gulf seemed wider. Did it feel that way to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are definitely two teams heading in different directions. But what struck me was, the White Sox weren't really playing that well coming into the series. They'd lost nine of their last 14, 15, something like that. Mm-hmm. And, that first game when Andrew Romine hit the home run to Kimbrel, I thought, wow, this is one of those Cubs Sox classics. But then the Sox came back to win it and obviously romped in the second game. And last night, I mean, that was over in the first inning. So it was just crazy. And one thing I also noted that, the first game was mostly 50-50 Cubs Sox fans. Second game, you could tell there was a lot more Sox fans, and last night it was definitely Cubs fans had dumped their tickets, and it was, I would say, predominantly Sox fans last night.
Yeah, I heard Rick Sutcliffe on Marquee, I think it was Friday, and he said that he didn't think anyone in the Cubs lineup could start for the White Sox. I couldn't believe he said that. I don't know if that's true.
Well, that was because Wilson wasn't playing.
Right.
Obviously, Wilson would have started. But, I don't know. I'd have to go by player by player. But he's probably right. I mean, those lineups, the lineups we're going to see the rest of the year aren't exactly, must-watch TV. However, as I said in the column today, if you read it, it's online, and you remember this well, back in the mid-80s after the 84 thing, we thought the Cubs were going to be great forever, and they weren't. And then by 86, 87, we had a couple of young guys, Jamie Moyer and Greg Maddux, in the rotation, and they took their lumps, but they turned out to be great pitchers. Maybe not always in Chicago, but still. You never know who's going to turn out, and if you're a baseball fan, you're going to watch. Maybe it's not the greatest for the Cub fans, and I understand that, but no, it's time to get over this and just watch what you have and then hope for better next year.
Yeah. The broadcasters were talking a lot last night about ABC's history with baseball some years ago, and they were talking to Al Michaels. And I'm glad Al made the correction.
What you're going to say.
Yeah,
the Jack Rosenberg thing.
Well, yeah, well, they started talking about the center field camera being an ABC innovation, and Al Michaels corrected him, right?
It was Arnie Harris.
Yeah, it was right here.
He said no, it was he remembered watching it in New York in the 1950s, and obviously we've seen it in Chicago our whole lives, dating back to the 50s. And I know Arnie Harris, the late, great Arnie Harris director, we credited him, at least in Chicago, as being the guy that did it at Wrigley Field. And I'm sure Jack Rosenberg had something to do with that as well.
Yeah, and as you heard, Paul, and thank you for the tweet on that, too, we're going to get that honorary street sign for Jack Rosenberg here a week from this Wednesday. And
congrats on that. That's a great, great accomplishment.
You know what? It's going to be sort of between Tribune Tower and like where the NBC Tower is. It's in the general neighborhood. They're just east
near
of
the statue of Jack.
Well, where is Jack? Can you look into this, Paul? Brick House apparently is missing.
What?
Yeah. You need to get on this immediately.
You're kidding me. I haven't been down there since we moved out of the tower. How long's that been?
We're not sure.
We're not sure, but we'd like Brickhouse we'd like Brickhouse to come back in time for the unveiling of the Jack Rosenberg street sign.
It's
only fitting that those two guys be together or close to one another.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought. Well, maybe they picked it because that street, because Jack's statue is there. But
yeah, it's close.
And I do have a little story on that. I asked at Brickhouse, Jack's wife, if she thought the statue should be moved to Wrigley Field, where all the other statues are, and she said no, she liked it there, where he had his own space and more people can see it, going up and down Michigan Avenue. But if it's not there.
No, maybe he's wandered off. Maybe he's wandered off to Guaranteed Rate Field. He did Sox games too.
That's right.
That is a mystery. We'll have to look into that.
Will you be making your way out to Dyersville, Iowa later this week?
I will not. Unfortunately, we are sending our Sox writer Lamont Pope, and he does a great job.
Right.
I'm going to be covering the game from home, the telecast, basically, because I'm kind of doubling as a media, kind of a media writer once in a while. Not always, since Phil Rosenthal's gone. We're kind of all doing our part to chip in and fill the spaces.
Well, so, we gave you your lead story, the Jack Brickhouse statue. work on that, will you?
I'm just stunned. How could a statue like that disappear?
Get him back in time for the Rosenberg dedication.
Sure? Yeah. Are we sure it's not there?
Well, Paul Sullivan will check that out. More in the Tribune and online, chicagotribune.com. Thank you, Paul. Get to work.
All right, guys. Thanks
Paul.